Blog Talk Radio.
Let's sing that second verse again.
Hallelujah. I know him as a provider. I know him as a protector. I know him as a holy God. I know him as a deliverer. I know him as a way maker. Amen, amen. We're excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Every day the Lord give me an opportunity to give him praise and to give him thanks, I'm excited. Amen. I don't have a sad song to sing today. I can sing, my God is awesome. Amen. I didn't know it was a holiday today. And my granddaughter, Elder Stalwart, I went over to pick her up at your brother's house, Gary. And they were saying, today is a holiday, Granny. You doing your broadcast? I said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I don't take no days off. Hallelujah. God made the days. Every day is a holiday when you're in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'm just excited about what God is doing. We thank you once again for tuning in to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. We all know we're on the air Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I tell you, for the last 2 weeks, we have had some mighty powerful, anointed men and women of God talking about how great God's faithfulness is. Amen. And this week, hey, glory to God, as we were on the line yesterday and I was reading in Psalm 34, and the Lord said, seek peace, hallelujah, and pursue it. That's coming out of Psalm chapter 34, verse 14. Seek peace and pursue it. I say, my God, that is awesome. Amen. We know when we're getting ready to seek something, we're looking for it. We diligently looking and searching for it. Amen. But after we do that and we find it, then the Lord said, you have to pursue it, pursuing. And I looked up pursuing and I said, wow, this is a lot. Pursuing means after you found it, you just not satisfied. But guess what? You're going to chase after it. You're going to follow after it harder. Amen. Amen. And that's why the Bible tells us to follow peace with all men and holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. Amen. So we're just so excited to have our first time guest speaker with us today. He is no stranger. I've been knowing this young man, hallelujah, for almost 30 years, he and his family, amen. So I can say a little something about him. I don't need a black and white written bio. When you have lived and have experienced things with families and friends, you can speak about them. You don't need to get something off the internet to introduce them. But their life experiences and the knowledge that you have of them, that allow you to be able to say something wonderful about them. Amen, amen. And he has been preaching and teaching the gospel for quite a long time. Amen. He have held several positions in the Pentecostal churches of the apostolic faith. Amen. And he has also been a pastor. Amen. He's been a youth chairman. And he has done some wonderful things for the body of Christ. Currently he is pastoring Win One Ministries in Los Angeles, California. He is a husband, he is a father, he is a grandfather, amen, and he is a brother, and he is a wonderful servant of the Most High God. So we are just so happy that he accepted this invitation to come and share with our listening audience today. Amen, amen. And we're going to just ask him a few questions, and we're going to let him get on into what the Lord has given him to speak into our hearing on today. I see Sister Corinthian is on the line, and I'm going to just ask her to open up with the word of prayer, and then we're going to get right on in to what God is speaking to us on today. Amen. So I'm going to go to Sister Corinthia Jones and ask her to open up with the word of prayer. Amen. God bless you, Sister Corinthia.
Lord Jesus, we come to you today, Almighty God, and we ask that you will forgive us for things that we've said wrong. Forgive us for things that we've done wrong. Forgive us for things that we've thought wrong, Almighty God. God, we ask that you, Lord Jesus, would just cover us with your blood, Almighty God. We ask that you would cleanse us from all unholiness and all unrighteousness, Almighty God. That you would create in us clean hearts, Almighty God, and that you would renew a right spirit within us in the precious, mighty name of Jesus. And God, as the word go forth today, Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would let your anointing overtake the man of God, that he would speak those things that you would have him speak, Almighty God, that Lord Jesus, that you will let souls be healed and delivered today in the precious mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask that you will get the glory, Lord Jesus, today in the precious mighty name of Jesus. We pray today that the devil would be bound and scattered on every hand and that his works will be void and no effect in the precious mighty name of Jesus. We come to counsel the assignment of a witch, a warlock, a Satanist, any Satarian curse, any root curse, any voodoo curse, any spoken curses, any written curses, and any objects. We come to reverse the curse right now in the precious mighty name of Jesus, and we send it back to the demon that brought it in the first place, and we command that demon right now in the mighty name of Jesus to go bound to a dry inhabited place in the precious mighty name of Jesus. And God, we ask that you would have your way over the airways in the precious mighty name of Jesus, that you will bless the ears to hear and the hearts to receive. And God, we'll be so careful to forever give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, for we know that you're worthy of all things this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We just so happy again. I tell you, Apostle Louis Stallworth III, amen, is our speaker for today, and we just want to just bring him on and thank God for. I see my cousin, Minister Aaron Singleton, and I want you all to know that he was bestowed. He had bestowed upon him yesterday his minister's license, so he's no bootlegger any longer, okay? Hallelujah. He has the official seal of the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith, amen, that had awarded him his minister license, amen. So Louis III, no Aaron also, so he's on the line with us this evening, and we're just so happy to see him, and he was so excited. You know, he's already doing the work of the ministry, and when you're already doing the work of the ministry, you know, you don't get caught up into these credentials. Just let, you know, the Bible say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Yes, it's good to acquire and to be able to obtain certain credentials as God move you to another level. But I tell you, we all are ministers, and we have a job to do. We have a job to do. It's our job to go out into the highway and the hedges and compel men to come. So we're just so thankful that Aaron had gotten his minister's license. So we thank God for that. Amen. We're going to call on Apostle Stallworth, and we just want to tell him thank you so much for taking out of his busy schedule to come and minister the word of God with us. So God bless you, Apostle Stallworth. How are
God
you?
God bless you.
Amen.
God
I told
you,
Gary
God
that
you
were speaking for us today, so I had my granddaughter text him the number to dial in. Amen. So we're just so excited to have you with us today. Can you tell us a little, give us a little background on how you were called into ministering this gospel?
Well, that's funny that you said that because it brings my grandmother into it. I was on a roof working with my cousin Eric, and we were taking some paint off this house that was on the church property, and a splinter went right into my finger. And I told Eric, I said, pull the splinter out. And he said, man, I can't get to it. We got to go to your grandmother to get the splinter out. And while we went to her, she said, oh, my God, I can't get the splinter out. You're going to have to go to emergency. And while I was in emergency with her, they was preparing to cut my finger to get the splinter out, I heard God say, tell your grandfather that I've called you to preach. And she came back in the room. They were saying all what they had to do to get this perfect splinter that was in my the tip of my finger, the pointing finger. And I said, Granny, God has called me to preach. And she said, hurry up and do it, for the Lord kill you. And I'll never, ever forget that day being in that emergency room when I got the call to, that's what he wanted me to do, to preach his gospel. My grandmother was there with me.
Mm.
And, I will never, ever forget that day because, you know, being a PK, I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to have nothing to do with church. I just wanted to be me. And God had a way of taking a splinter and making it a perfect fit in my index finger, go through the tip all the way to the back. It was perfect. And as soon as I accepted it and said, all right, God, I'll do it, the doctor said, well, we don't have to operate. He just pulled it out. It didn't leave not a piece of wood in the finger after I accepted the call. It just came right out, and I put it in a handkerchief and kept it. And that was my way of remembering that once you do what is right, he says, I only chastise those who I love. And once you do what is right, he'll take care of you. And that's how I got my call to the ministry. Some people, they get theirs in a dream. I got mine with a piece of wood.
Now, how old were you when you started when you actually started preaching?
I don't remember the age. I remember it was in 1992.
Okay.
My first message was in 1992. I started then, and it was shortly after that I started pastoring. I had already been doing a whole lot. I just was running from preaching. My daddy could preach. So, oh, my God, my grandfather could preach, aunties, uncles, cousins. I said, there's no way in the world I can be a good preacher with the whole lineup that was there. So I found at 13 I started working the altars and start praying for people, and people start receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and being healed and being delivered. And I just said, you know, God, take me working at the altars and don't let me preach. I'll just do the altar. Let someone else preach. But that wasn't his will. You can't give God what you want to give him. You have to give God what he wants.
My God. Now you are pastoring a ministry there in Los Angeles where you began pastoring, 20 years ago, or how long ago that's been?
February the 20th, 1994, so it's almost 20 years.
Wow.
I got the call January 1st. I was sitting at the table in 1994 with my grandfather. I had just came back from L.A. trying to do some construction work, sitting at the table, and he looked across me and he said, Lewis, I can't fight it anymore. I tried to hold you back, but God is calling you to be a pastor in Los Angeles. I can't hold it back any longer. And I was upset. I was like, oh, God, he's pushing me out there. But I had went home that night and had went to sleep. And in my sleep, I heard God tell me to obey him, obey my grandfather and go to L.A.
Mm.
So I started pastoring shortly after that on February the 20th, 1994, right in the heart of L.A., though, where it was on Figueroa. So you know you had to be called if you was going to pastor your first time on Figueroa.
Ah, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I lived in Los Angeles 14 years, so I know those areas and certainly know about the calling of God being on one's life. You know, Los Angeles is humongous, and there's churches everywhere, and you need to, you have to really have the calling of God on your life to do such a ministry. Now, going on into your apostleship, how did that all evolve?
Well, me listening to God, we had a prophet that came to town on a Sunday, and he was ministering, and God started dealing with me, and I got out of my chair. During this, in this time of the season, I was sitting in the pulpit, and I got out of my chair and kneeled down, and the Lord started talking to me. And he says, I want you to start a fellowship, worldwide fellowship. I want you to call it Winning the World for Christ. I said, God, I can't do nothing like that. That's too big for me. He says, I'm sending you. And he has showed me many things before in my private time with him. And I didn't want to do it. I was fighting him. I came up with every excuse in the book. And I just made up my mind. I wrote it in my Bible, what he wanted me to do, and I just made up in my mind I wasn't going to do it. And I said, all right, God, I'll compromise. I'll do some stuff here in the state. I'll go out of the state. I'll do some conferences. And so we the same brother that was ministering said, I want you to come to Alabama, and let's do a fellowship there. And that for October. So I got a van together and loaded up a bunch of youth, and we drove there to Alabama. And as we were like 6 hours from getting into the city, the manager of a fish place said to me, he said, God sent you here, and it's for a reason, and he has purpose and destiny with you. And he says, I don't normally do this. I'm a manager. He said, but anointed man of God, God is talking to you. He wants to change some things in your life. And you don't want to change. And I accepted what he said, let him pray for me. Jumped in the car, drove 6 hours. We changed our clothes at the church. And there was a prophetess by the name of Prophetess Francine Riley. And she was in there. And that, by then, I had accepted, you know, the call of a bishop. And, you know, went through all the process to be a bishop. And I'm having the title, Bishop Stalwart. And, you know, just compromising, saying, oh, God, I'll just, you know, give you what you want, but not with my whole heart and soul. And so as I walked into this meeting, and she was doing the first night, and I was doing the second night, I was sitting on the front row, and she had never seen me before. And she says, man of God, the Lord has sent you here. And you told me to tell you, take every title off that you have. Pastor, bishop, so you have taken on these titles and nobody has told you. Now, you gotta understand that this is my conference. She's coming here because of me setting this conference up in Alabama. So she's rebuking me, and it's my conference in front of everybody.
Ah.
And she tells me that the thing, how it was so true, she told me the things that I went through with my daddy. Went through with my father, my grandfather, went through with my ministry. She's uncovering me in front of everybody. And she says, you received this bishop title and you're wrong. God didn't call you that. What did God say in that room when you was by yourself? What did he show you? And I just fell on the ground, started weeping and crying because I knew I was wrong. There's no way in the world she could know this if God didn't tell her.
And my God.
At that moment in time, I had to humble myself because I was exposed. And she says, God loves you so that he did this in front of everybody, that you would never, ever run from being an apostle. Said he called you the sent one, and he's going to send you into the world. He's going to send you everywhere. He says he's mad at you because you accepted the title of a bishop when he called you to be an apostle because you don't want to fight with some of the senior people in your life.
Yes.
I just wept and cried. I fell to the ground, and at that point, I didn't feel like I was worthy to be nothing because I was running from what I was. And that was an experience that I will never, ever forget, to be exposed in front of everybody when you're going there and it's your conference. Is nothing to play with. So that ever since then.
Okay. Now, you're not accepting that calling. Was it, in fact, because of your teaching and your upbringing and particularly the people that surrounded you that you were a part of, that was not something that they acknowledge their leaders to become?
Yes. Yes. I knew by then I had already went through Bible college, and so I knew that the scholars and theologians and my family, friends, were not going to accept that. Though the Word said he gave some to be. I knew that they wasn't going to accept that because that's not what they believed. So I was trying to fit in. I was trying to fit in, and I just went on and went with it and let them, you know, make me a bishop, which I never, ever wanted to be a bishop. It was never in me. It never even in me to be a preacher. And I compromised because I knew they wouldn't accept me. Calling myself an apostle was like committing suicide when it comes to the church.
Ooh, Jesus, say that again. Now, why is that such a stigma in the church realm, in the body of Christ? Because I want to say that the scripture does say that God gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, pastors, and teaching for the perfecting of the body. Then why is it such a stigma?
The stigma is because most preachers didn't take out the time to go and learn under someone that had the credentials to teach. A lot of preachers say God called them, they open up the book, and they begin to study it. And then they looked at it that, you know, Jesus, if you didn't actually see Jesus, you couldn't be an apostle. And then the prophets got killed off a long time ago, so there was no more prophets. So this is why the church is literally handicapped now, because you left out two key people in the body of Christ, the apostles and the prophets. Now you just got, you know, instead of a fivefold ministry, the hand that God is using is only three fingers now. And we're handicapped. Because a lot of preachers knew that they should have went and sat under someone and got some training. So when he said he called some to be, that wasn't part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Wasn't part of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the history of Jesus. Then you come to Acts, which tells you how to get the Holy Ghost, which is the beginning of the church. Then from Romans to Revelation tells those who have the Holy Ghost, who's been baptized, who have repented, how to maintain what God has given them. And a lot of preachers are preaching and teaching in the pulpit and don't even understand that from Romans to Revelation is only for the true believers. This is why we have the problem now with people confessing that they know Jesus and they serve Jesus in Romans, because most preachers haven't been taught that Romans is for only people that have been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and have repented. From Romans to Revelation is only, those books are only for the people who have received the Holy Ghost. And this is the problem that we have. We have a lot of people opening up the Bibles and don't know what they're talking about. The Bible is the best-selling book every year. It outsells every book in the whole entire world. Even that, knowing that, we still don't have people that says, all right, I'm going to take out the time and get to know this whole book, 66, these 66 authors, I'm going to get to know them, I'm going to get to know the time frames, what was going on, I'm going to take out the time. My good friend just passed away, Mr. Bell, loved him, educated man, set with him. The last time we talked, he said, are you still calling yourself? Listen to the words. Are you still calling yourself apostle? I said, no, sir. I'm not calling myself apostle.
Okay.
He called me to be an apostle. And laughed. And he says, so tell me, who pays for your trips? Because I heard you go everywhere. I said, he sent me, he's paying for it. I said, some days I just went to the airport and just stood in the line. And somebody paid for my ticket. I said, I went to Hong Kong one time with no money. That man, the Muslim man, took care of my bills, took care of my traveling. I said, he sent me. An apostle don't have to worry about when it's time for him to go. He don't have to worry about a ticket. He don't have to worry about a hotel. He doesn't have to worry about anything because the Lord sends you out, and he takes care of those who send you. So we have a problem now with some people, even like Bishop Bell, knew the right thing, but then had been teaching it for so long the other way, had a problem with converting the people to understand that, hey, this is the right way now. He has some apostles. He has some prophets. It's just some things that we're facing in church. You know, when you young and upcoming and someone put this in your spirit and you actually believe it, now you got to go back and tell the people, hey, I was wrong. You got a lot of ministries that feel like, you know, I can't do that. I can't tell the people I was wrong. So that's why we still have problems with it. And which now is calling our churches actually to die. Because now the bishop, the pastor, has been trying to hold on to all the congregants, all the members, when actually now he needs to let an apostle come in, straighten up the church. I need to let a prophet with a word from the Lord come in and speak to the people.
All right.
It's just like a few weeks ago when you called me. If God didn't give you the unction to call me, the words that you spoke to me, I had been waiting for months for those words. I wouldn't care who brought the message to me. But because you obeyed God and you stepped in as a prophetess, as a mouthpiece of God, I got my word because you obeyed him. You wouldn't let it go because you said, God put this on you. You had to speak to me. Even when my phone was ringing, it was going to voicemail, you didn't care because it was on you. What if that would be for every church, that God had a person to go and speak to people's lives? Oh, my God. People would be set free. They would be delivered. They would be brought out. Because what you spoke to me has literally changed my life in these last 2 weeks. You spoke it out of revelation.
Hallelujah.
That day I wept, I cried, I thanked the Lord because I said, God, you haven't forgot about me.
Thank you, Jesus.
You said, God, you sent the woman of God to speak into my life. I was waiting for you. I was waiting. I would accept the wind to talk to me. I would accept a bird, a dog, anything, God. Just speak. And you send the woman of God to speak, just not from her words, but from the word of God, which brought life.
Amen. And it's very vital and it's very necessary that we speak the word of God. When you speak the word of God, you don't have to ever worry about being in error because God's word is an error. Hallelujah. And,
That's right.
Jesus, I just, I marvel at God. I'm just hearing what you're saying. Even my Uncle Alfred, he says many times if he was able to go back and get some of the folks he put out, some of the folks that was put out of church because of healing toe shoes, having to heel out and their toes out, he said, I would have been had a mega ministry. So we're finding if we're not under a ministry that is teaching, like you said, the fivefold ministry, then we are not obeying the word of God. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. The fivefold ministry says is to edify, to build up the church.
Mm.
And if you look at the church world right now, it's not being built up.
Mm-hmm.
The church is hurting right now because leaders don't want to change. They say, I'm the pastor. I'm going to run this the way I want to run it. And it was never intended for that. It was intended for that pastor to maintain that flock. But he had always had him some men that will come in and help, like the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
It was never just for one person to say, I'm going to run everything. No, it was for the fivefold ministry to handle everything in the body of Christ. This radio broadcast is a time of reflection.
Yes.
This is the name of this, a time
yes.
of reflection. If the body of Christ would just stop right now and say, let's reflect.
All
let's
right.
reflect on what God has been doing for years. I know that the church says God doesn't change. But God says, let me change my message.
All right.
Some stuff just ain't working. That's why he was able to send Jesus. He says, after he got mad, he got upset that they wasn't paying their tithes, they wasn't giving their offerings, they were stuck in the law, and they wasn't going to change. He didn't talk for 400 years. That 400 silent years that he says, I'm not talking to nobody. But in those 400 silent years, they kept doing service. They kept preaching. They kept taking up tithes. They kept taking up offers. They kept singing. And God wasn't talking for 400 years. And the next time he spoke was through John the Baptist's mouth. That was the next time in 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of times, church, we think God is speaking. And he ain't speaking. He said, something has to change. For he says, this is how I'm going to change it. In my last day, I'm going to pour out my spirit.
You preaching now.
He says, I'm going to pour my spirit out. I'm going to give everybody a chance. I know in the church world we got certain people that we feel like is not worthy to have God in their lives, not worthy to serve him. That he says, this is how you're going to know that is me. In the last days, I'm pouring out my spirit upon all flesh. So that lets me know that in this time right now, time of reflection. You know, it says, the title today, Seek Peace and Pursue It. The only way that the church world is going to have peace right now is we have to seek God. God is peace. You're going to have to pursue me with everything in your heart. He says, I would that no man would perish. No man. If this was the formula to every church right now, we wouldn't let no souls leave out of the church. I would that no man would perish. I don't want none to perish. I want them to be delivered, to be set free, to be brought out. If we would have that same mind frame as the people come in, people would be getting delivered, set free, brought out. Because God says, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. So get ready for the homosexuals. Get ready for the men that have converted themselves into women. I want them too. Get ready for the crackhead. Get ready for people that's drinking, people that's lying. Get ready for the prostitutes. Get ready for those child molesters. Get ready for even the ones that are cutters that cut themselves. God right now wants the church to prepare for every type of people. Every type of individual. This is why when I talked with you 2 weeks ago, God let me know, says, I have her right in the right place right now. So this is her calling. This is her destiny right now, because how you interviewed me, how you talked to me, you brought some things in me, out of me, that I could share with the rest of the world what I've been through. You're in the right evangelist. You're in the right place that you should be in right now, because people need to have a time of reflection. Let's reflect that what happened to me in 1994, bringing me to L.A., is not going to work in 2013. This is a different day, a different time. God is rapidly moving. God never goes back in time. He's moving forward. He's a forward-moving God. I can go back and do what I did in 1994 in 2013, because God ain't there in 1994. He's here in the presence of 2013. Yesterday is gone. He ain't in yesterday. He's only in today, and he's only in the future. And this is how the church world has to start thinking now. We got to start moving forward thinking. This is why this is such a great radio broadcast, because it makes us take the time out to reflect. Oh, that won't work. This won't work. We got to reflect that some things just not working. Some songs we're singing just not getting God's attention. Some prayers we're playing is just not getting his attention. Something has to just say, hey, look, let's stop. Let's change it. Let's do something else. Let's do something else different, because God is going to move forward and we stop. So I appreciate God that he allows right now for us to come together on this radio broadcast, for you to speak the way you spoke 2 weeks ago, get me on here, that now we seek peace. The only peace we're gonna ever have is in God. And we got to seek him with everything that we have in us. We got to seek him. We got to know it. The word of God says, depart from evil and do good. This is how he starts out in Psalms 34 and 14. Depart from it. There's some things that we're doing in the body of Christ are just evil. And some people just don't want to say it. Some things we're doing is just evil, and it is not good. We need to depart from it. He said, seek peace and pursue it. Who is the peace? It is God is the peace. So we have to pursue him with everything that we have in him, because time is winding up. Too many people are taking their last breath, saying their last fight, hearing their last words come through their ears. And he says, I want all of them. I want all of them. Everyone, I want them. When we have that same mind frame as leaders, pastors and teachers and evangelists, we won't dog or mistreat anybody. Now, you know as well as I know, in the body of Christ, there's been too many people that was dogged. He said, depart from this. Depart from evil. He said, I need you to start doing good, not hurting people, not beating people up. There's been many times that people have come into the service needing to be delivered. There's nowhere else for them to go. They came just like they were supposed to come. They was wounded. They was beat up. They was on drugs. They was high as a kite. They was this. They was that. They came in with their babies. They came in with their baby moms. They came in with their husbands, their boyfriends. They came in expecting God to do something greater than where they was at. But the church, we looked at them and said, oh, they ain't ready. Well, we can't help them. Not today. You ain't ready. You're still too short. You too high today. God says this, it's not in those people. I'm giving you the power. After you have received the Holy Ghost, the power shall come upon you that you will be a witness unto me. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to straighten out these people. I'm just a firm believer that it's power in our hugs. All they need is just a hug, and that spirit will come off of them. A word of life that you will never, ever be the same again, and they will be delivered. This is what God has given me to say to the radio world today. Seek peace. The peace is God. When you get God in your life, you got it. He says, and I need you to pursue it with everything that's in you. There's some people that's right here on this prayer, on this radio line right now, that it's not just by chance that you are hearing me today. Today is the day that for me to tell you, nobody else is doing it in your church, so now I commission you to do it. Nobody's hugging those people. Nobody's witness to those people. Nobody's loving those people. They don't want to minister and preach to the lost. They want the same sanctified people to give them the amen and the hallelujah. So because you're on this radio broadcast today, I commission you to go to the lost, to save them, to bring them out, to minister to them, to call them, to go to their house. What's wrong with the people of God in this hour and this time going into a sinner's house and changing the atmosphere? Yeah, there's drugs in there. Yeah, there's alcohol in there. Yeah, there's sin in there. But he said, we are the light of the world. What's wrong with us at this moment in this time that we as the people of God take the light that he has given us and cancel out all the sin and the shame and the frustration and the pain and the hurt and walk back into people's houses and love on them. Take the blessed oil and make their houses and tell the devil he can't come in here no more. He can't have rain in here no more. And hug the little kids and tell them it's okay that you don't have no daddy. God is going to be your daddy. It's okay.
Yeah.
I feel his presence now because we can't afford to wait any longer. We can't afford it. I'm looking at all my cousins. I'm looking at all my friends that have been literally waiting for the church to change, and the church won't change. They stay the same. And so God is saying right now, you have to change. You that are hearing me on this radio broadcast right now, you have to be the change right now. You can't wait for the choir to do it. You can't wait for the praise team to do it. The elder board, the deacon board, the mother board. You can't wait for none of them. Our time is right now. We have to seek this peace, the peace of God, and pursue it with everything in us. It's the same way when Jesus came up on the scene. The church said, I don't want to change. We're not going to change. You and I, we seek him some men that will change some women. Priscilla was one that changed. He sought them out and said, all right, I'll give it to you. You go and take this to the world. That's what he wants to do with us right now. He wants to give us what he has right now that he can pour his spirit out upon all flesh. You can hear what I'm saying? All flesh. He ain't going to miss nobody. He's going to get everybody. And he has to have him some conduit to do this. God always uses somebody to do that next move of God that he's trying to do. He always uses somebody, and he wants to use us. I'm excited today that he hasn't forgot about me. He hasn't forgot about you, evangelist. He hasn't forgot about any person that is listening to me right now. He hasn't forgot about you. Many people say, God has forgotten about me. He doesn't care, but every breath has been calculated. Every heartbeat has been calculated that you would get right here to this moment right now that I was speaking to your lives and tell you that you are valuable to the Lord. That's why he allowed you to see. He allowed you to see so you can dial the numbers. He put the power in your head that today that you can dial in and hear my voice to speak to you and tell you you are valuable for the kingdom. It doesn't matter if you don't have a title. Doesn't matter if you don't have a car. Doesn't matter what your current situation is. He said, in the last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out upon all flesh. I'm going to use men and women. I'm going to use them to do this. And that's why you're hearing my voice right now, because this is your finest hour right now. Yesterday don't even matter no more. What you did last year don't even matter no more. He is the forward God. He is the God of time. Time will never go back. It doesn't matter what you did in your past or what you said yesterday. He is the God of right now. And he's trying to tell you right now that I've made provisions for every sin, for every fault, for everything that you've ever done wrong in your life. I've made provisions for it. I sent Jesus on the cross that he will die for you, that his blood will cover every sin, that at this moment, this time, that you can go forward morning, God, that you can be used by me in the power of your might. God, this is our finest hour right now. God, I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to, even when you get off this phone and let the devil even talk to you and throw you off, this moment was designed for you, that you would hear that God wants to use you like never before. He wants to use you in a mighty and a powerful way. That's why, woman of God, you have to prophesy. You have to speak it into existence. When God gives you that unction to speak for him, you have to do it. Yeah, you might be called a bachelor on this radio broadcast. God wants to call you a prophetess, that your mouth will be used for his glory and his honor. You use your mouth when you were saved. You used it. God says, I'm a child of God. He says, let me use your mouth now for me. It doesn't matter what people think and what they say about you. He has called you and anointed you. And he gives you that unction. You can't even see when you get a word. It's a burden that is on you. That is the gift to prophesy. That's the gift to speak. And in this day and time, it's too many men. It's too many women that need a word from the Lord. They don't need criticism. They don't need to be taught. They don't need to be kicked. They don't need to be talked about. They need to hear that God still loves them. He has made provisions for every sin that they have committed in their lives. So they can give him the glory, give him the honor, and give him the praise. I'm grateful. Grateful that today he can let me be on this radio broadcast with you to share a time of reflection. Because my anniversary is almost coming up on October the 26th. I was laying in the bed with 10 doctors that told me that I wasn't going to live. Don't walk to the cross by myself because I was going to have a heart attack and they need 10 minutes to restore me and to bring me back up. But why is it in October 26, 2012, that God raises me up by using a prophet to text me a message and say, go to the church and preach this word to these people and tell these people what the Lord has said? This is why in this hour, this time, I can't put down apostles and prophets because God is using them for their glory. October 26, 2010, he raised me up out of the bed for dying. God, I've been going every since. My anniversary is almost here. October 26 will be 1 year that he raised me up. That he put his anointing back in me. He put his power back in me. He put his joy back in me. He put his strength back in me. God, I won't criticize how this last day move that God wants to do. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors. God, I will not criticize it. You let the people of God be used right now. People's lives will be changed. People's lives will be blessed. People will never, ever be the same. Excuse me. Now, somebody else. I would say that I don't mean to get excited, but I would be lying to you today. After you have laid in the bed for 3 years, with all type of heart problems, they call them heart murmurs and heart flurries, meaning you've had several heart attacks, and your body can't get out of the bed, you're weak, and you're tired, and you get a text message from the Word of God telling you to rise up out of your affliction, rise up out of your sickness, rise up out of your mental struggle, your mental battles. Tell you to rise up. This is the day of the Lord. Speak out and declare the words of the Lord. When you get a word like that, nobody can tell you off. Nobody can change you. I remember the days of being in the house. Nobody to visit me. Nobody to see me. You just a box full of medicine. I'm hope that I will make it through the night. But after hearing from the Word of God, you to arise. I thank God for His goodness. Thank God for His power. Thank God. I have to tell people all over the world, it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Today is a brand new day. Let God do something in you that will be great and awesome and powerful. And I speak
ministries that we will be great and awesome, honey, that this just won't be the start of this radio broadcast, but I speak into the atmosphere, that this radio broadcast will also go live on TV, that people's lives will never ever be the same again, that they can reflect that God is still good, he's still powerful, he's still mighty, he's still wonderful, he's still a healer, he's still a deliverer, he's a mighty liar, he's a mighty liar, he's a situation, there is nothing too hard for God to do, he's confidence changing, this is your God, you told the story in the land, now that nothing stops you, hitting you, all the land, you fell apart as good as your Christ, you took the labors, you took the labors, labors, don't go on tires, don't go on positions, labors, go on that, you are told to go, they do, they're supposed to do, they say the word they're supposed to say, in this day, this hour,
stop speaking. Start tenacious. Oh, okay.
Evangelist Zorn. God bless you.
Okay, sorry, I said it again because my mom's sitting right here. What's your name again?
Evangelist Zorn.
Oh, yes, I couldn't hear anybody speaking. I don't have a voice. But I'm
you know, focused. I was talking. I didn't even see the phone. I had to mute it for a second. So God bless you. We just so thankful for Apostle Stalwart coming and minister to us. I just wanted to open up the line. And certainly we appreciate all of you all that call in on a regular basis and tune in and listen to the word of God. We're not here to debate. We're not here to put anybody down. We're just here to lift up the name of Jesus. And we thank God for you, Evangelist Doris. You've been with us a while now, and we appreciate you. So we just opening up the lines for any comments.
Thank you.
I'm really blessed by the word. I'm so blessed. I wanted to scream. I'm really blessed. Yes. I heard everything he said. He was speaking to me. My voice is all messed up right now. But, yes. I thank God for this new destiny ministry. I really thank God for you, Evangelist Bernard, for bringing on all these men and women of God to impact lives. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Keep on trusting God. God has never stopped yet. Sometimes when we're going through different situations, sometimes it's so hard, and we lose sight sometime on what God has already done. And that's why we got to reflect, as the man of God said today. God gave me this title for this broadcast, A Time of Reflection. Sometimes we got to reflect upon some crazy things that God delivered us out of, some crazy things that we know. Guess what? If it had not been for God, we wouldn't have never made it out. So when you're going through your present situations, just reflect upon what God already has done. And if he already have proven himself to you, guess what? God will prove himself time and time again. He has never failed us. We fail God, but God is true, and he's people to his word. All we have to do is go through. We said last week, the blessing is in the testing. If we're never tested, then we'll never be blessed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because you receive the blessing after you have passed the test, after you've come through. Hallelujah. Then God say, I have a reward with you. He said, I already have it waiting on you. You got to go through. It's not an easy thing going through. An easy thing being in the fire. Just know, when you come out the fire, you're going to be as pure gold. Hallelujah. So we thank God for evangelists. Amen, amen. We're going to go to evangelist Earlene Cummins out of Los Angeles. And she know this man of God, and then we're going to go to Sister Corinthians. Some have fell off. They might have didn't hear me and just found off because I had the phone muted for a minute. Amen. God bless you, Evangelist Cummins.
God bless you, Evangelist Adrian Bernard. And God bless you, Prophet Bishop Stalwart Jr. III. And the word, as he was preaching and teaching, the word came to me, touch not my anointing, and do my prophet no harm. And you know, we have to obey. And then it came to me, I'd rather obey God than man. You have to obey what the Lord tells you to do. And when you don't have the love of God like you should, you will do what you want to do, but not what God says to do. We have to do what the Lord says to do. I want to thank God that young man came out here and prayed for me. I bless the Lord for him. I've watched him over the years. And the Lord, and truly I can say one thing about him. He's anointed.
He's anointed. Yes, he is.
He's anointed, and the word of God is down on the inside. You cannot deny it because it touches you, and it just shakes up that Holy Ghost down on the inside. I bless the Lord for today. And you know what? We got to give everything over to the Lord. We got to quit being judgmental and making our own way and thinking our own way. We better obey God. Hallelujah. I just thank the Lord for today and the things that I've heard. I bless the Lord for this radio broadcast, and
thank
I've been
you,
blessed
Jesus.
So many times. And I'm looking for the Lord to take you farther, Evangelist.
All right. Looking
for the Lord to take you farther. My desire is to see you on TV.
That's my desire
because you got something, honey. You got something to offer.
Show my true colors because I'll show out. Hallelujah. I preach something they don't want me to preach. Hey,
that's right.
Because they ain't going to tell me not to mention Jesus.
That's right.
Some of these television broadcasts, you know, they have criteria that you have to govern yourselves by. And some may not want you to preach Jesus, but you can't preach this gospel without preaching Jesus.
That's the good news, the death, the burial,
and resurrection of Jesus.
That's it.
God said Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You can't preach this gospel without calling on Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, we just bless you. Do you have any information about Sister Ingrid?
She opened up her eyes.
Oh, wonderful. Hallelujah. We've been praying over the weekend and fasting for Sister Ingrid. And glory! Hallelujah!
I haven't heard no more, but last night I called my granddaughter and I called my nephew, and they said she opened her eyes.
Glory to God. All right, God is moving.
He's moving. That's enough. I was so happy I didn't know what to do. I've been praying. Bless the Lord.
I've been praying, and some things ain't, I don't leave private. The only way it's going to stay private with me, you tell it to stay private. But if it's something that's critical, hey, the saints need to be praying. Hallelujah. And interceding,
yes.
And I know God will move because he said the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. Sister Corinthian, God bless you.
Chris, giving honor to God, to Apostle Stalwart.
Apostle Lewis's number from Sister Corinthian Jones, I tell you. And God had put him in my spirit. And when God puts somebody in my spirit, the only way I don't contact them or reach them is the number disconnected or I just can't do it. But if he put them in my spirit, I'm going to make contact some kind of way. And I just believe that the Lord opened up a door where I can make the contact because I had a word that I had to give to him, and it was from the Lord. It wasn't just for him to come on the radio broadcast, but it was a word that God wanted me to give to him, and he received it. Amen. So, Sister Corinthia, God bless you.
I so greatly appreciate God for being who he is. I thank and appreciate God for allowing you, Sister Adrian, to be in my life and for Apostle Stalwart to be in my life, two great people. I appreciate God for you both, and I thank and appreciate God for your words of encouragement, Sister Adrian. That's the rod of correction. When I'm wrong, you correct me and you let me know I'm wrong, and for being that motherly figure in my life. My mother passed away when I was 15, so I really haven't had, you know, nobody to be as close to me as you've been these past few years in my life, and I appreciate God for placing you there and just to teach me what it is to be a giver, to give not just money, but to give love, to give time, and even friendship. And I appreciate God for that. I appreciate God for Louis III for his words of encouragement. And for when I was a young girl, I was probably around, I want to say 17 years old, I lost a baby to crib death. And for God, just, you know, having him to come and to minister words of wisdom to me and to teach me about having self-respect as a young girl, to respect myself and just let me know that if you don't respect yourself, nobody else ain't going to respect you. For him just putting that in my spirit and for putting it in my mind to want to raise my children to be men and women of God. To, you know, I had a 4-year-old girl and she was singing a song. It was a worldly song. And he said, he was telling me, if your daughter can learn a worldly song for the devil, you should be teaching this girl to sing a song for the Lord. And I thank and appreciate God that he spoke those words to me, and it made me want to teach my kids about Jesus and not want them to grow up to know about the ways of the world. And I thank and appreciate God that he's kept me down through the years. I'm 40 years old. I've been in church since I was 18 years old. I got married when I was 19. I've been in church. I've been living right and running for Jesus, and I'm not tired yet. I thank and appreciate God that he kept me down through the years. His word has kept me. I have not wanted to go back to the world. If the world was so good, I wouldn't have never left it in the first place. And I just thank God that I never had a desire to go back to those things that I used to do. And I just thank God that he's been the keeper and the lover of my soul. And I just thank and appreciate God for all things in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Well, we certainly thank God for you and thank God for all that you do. You know, even you saying me doing a lot, but, you know, your family have been very special to me. And I tell you, anytime I call you, you know, I say, come get me or come do this or pick up Nino or, you know, anything I have requested of you, you never make an excuse. And I truly thank God for you and thank God for your family. And just, you know, that's what we have to do. You know, the Bible said we have to be lovers of good people, and also that we have to not shut up our vows of mercy and compassion. You know, it's just not about our four and no more. You know, ministry and reaching out and loving your brothers and sisters is coming outside of your four walls and impacting your community, impacting the people that you know may need something and you have the means and the wherewithal to provide it. You know, we have to do that because the Bible said, wear this world as a loose garment. We find out. We can't take anything with us. You know, Pastor Jones, we just celebrated her homegoing service, a woman of God that has served God since she was 15 years old. That means 64 years she had given her life over to serving God. She got the Holy Ghost at 15 years old, got married at 18 or 19, and she carried on the work of her husband. She did so many extraordinary things. But you know what? When God calls us home, our work ceases. It ceases. And anything you have that's tangible, I didn't see no money in the casket with the Sister Jones. I didn't see a Cadillac. I didn't see the Sam Jones Educational Institute. I didn't see the organizations that she founded. I didn't see none of that in her home. It wasn't in the casket with her. Hallelujah. All she had on was a robe. And she had a Bible laying in her bosom. Hallelujah. And on the casket, they say, going home. Her work is finished. So, people of God, we have a work to do. It ain't over until God says it's over. Amen. So, reach out. And as the apostle said today, reach out and show love. Tell somebody that they're valuable. Share with somebody that God ain't forgotten them. He's not through with them. Hallelujah. I bless the Lord for this word today. It has strengthened me. Amen. Sister Eileen, and then we're going to Sister Ruby. Amen. Sister Eileen, God bless you. This young woman has been coming on our line for several months. Amen. And she has such a sweet spirit. Sweet spirit, she never asks for anything. Even prayer sometimes. She say, I'm all right. just have a beautiful spirit. So we appreciate her, and sometimes she's working and she's driving home, and she's still on the line listening to the word of God. Amen. So we even Sunday morning, early Sunday morning prayer, she comes on with us. So we just appreciate you, Sister Eileen. Did you want to have any words?
No, good evening, and thank you for the word. It's definitely timely that we need to, you know, just be on God's job and not on our own job. So I definitely appreciate that word today. Thank you.
Amen, amen. See, she just short and to the point. Amen. We appreciate you, Sister Eileen. Appreciate you coming on and supporting the broadcast and listening to the men and women of God that God anoints to come on this line. I tell you, God knows those that are his. And I don't boast or brag, but I try to be led of God who to bring on this broadcast, because, you know, I just can't have no anybody on here. And that's not having respect to persons, but you have to know people. You have to know that they're living holy. You have to know that they love the Lord. You have to know that they love their fellow man. We're not on here for no, we're not trying to win a popularity contest. We're just trying to reach souls. We're trying to impact somebody's life. And you never know the people that go through the internet and searching for a word from the Lord all time of night, 24/7. You can go back on these archives and listen to these messages. These men and women of God, most of them that come on these lines, have thriving ministries. They're not somebody we met at the shelter. They have thriving ministries, and they make a sacrifice out of their busy schedules and come on this line to preach or teach a word to our radio audience. Amen. So I appreciate them. We don't have we don't have anything to sow into their life other than a word from the Lord. We don't have any funds to send them a check. So they come on here freely. Amen. And they teach and preach the gospel. So God has a record on them, and God is going to reward them. And that's why they're blessed. They're blessed in the city, and they're blessed in the field. They're blessed when they come, and they're blessed when they go. So we just bless the Lord for all of those that make the sacrifice and come on and minister the word to us. We don't take it lightly. Amen. Back to, we're going to give it to Sister Ruby, and we thank God for Sister Ruby and being able to come in our home and do this broadcast and just all the wonderful things that Sister Ruby has contributed to this ministry. I want her to know that God in heaven, have a record on you, Sister Ruby. And if I never say anything, God sees your heart. He see how diligent you are. He see how you sign on to this computer 30 minutes in advance and excited about the word, excited about giving to God's people, excited about sharing. And one thing I have to say about Sister Ruby, she has such a compassion. When she hear of somebody in a destitute situation, she say, what can I do? What can I do to help her? Hallelujah. So even though she's not out there witnessing in the street, she's still on this radio broadcast sharing her gifts, sharing her funds, sharing the knowledge that she have of Jesus. And I tell you, God can't do nothing but bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. That was a blessing, Evangelist Bernard. But, you know, I'm working for the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his precious royal family of believers. So I just thank God for the word today. Evangelist Bernard was telling me she was going to, she came out of their church, New Beginnings. Isn't that his father? So she was telling me the Lord had led her to call Apostle, Apostle III.
Mm-hmm.
He's Apostle the Third, Stalwart. And I said, really? I was, you know, we don't really know what the God's people do and give up,
for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ's work. I was on a broadcast with him about 2 or 3 years ago, and how it started out is, was from Oakland. His wife, she's anointed. She's in that ministry. They used to have Monday through Friday prayer, and then the word. And on Thursday morning, his wife would do the prayer on this radio blog talk. So through that, Apostle Stallworth was traveling to India or whatever place. But every time she couldn't come on, he would always come on and pray. I've never heard him preach the word, but I've heard him pray. And I said to myself, Lord, that is awesome. She is a prayer. And do you know they were on somebody else's broadcast? The Lord opened the door on that broadcast to open them up to come on at 11:30 at night praying for half an hour. And then it was so, the Lord was so anointed, and they were so anointed, that he even gave them a spot at 12 o'clock a.m. So they're on that broadcast as we speak now. So I just thank the Lord for it. I've heard their fruits, and I was on the broadcast with them, and it's just a blessing and an honor for me to hear him preach and teach and tell us about his humble beginning.
Ah.
So God bless each and every one of y'all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I certainly thank God Apostle Stallworth have dropped off, but we thank God for him coming on and ministering the word and encouraging the saints of God. Amen. We're looking tomorrow. Prophet Davis, I have to confirm with him. He may be on tomorrow, and we will have some other speakers on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I want you all to continue to pray for Pastor Hamilton. We're looking for him to come back for Provoke Fridays. Amen. So continue to pray for him. Amen. And we're going to continue to discuss this topic, seek peace and pursue it. Amen. So we're going to ask Sister Eileen to just dismiss us with a word of prayer if she's able to. Sister Eileen?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Can you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Sure, why not? Of course.
Oh.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Father God, for sparing our lives today, Father God. We thank you so much for letting us come together, Father God, to hear the word, hear the man of God. Father God, I ask you right now to build him back up, Father God, for everything that he's poured out to the people listening today, Father God. I just ask you to build him back up, Father God. Bless him, Father God. Keep him safe in your arms, Father God, to send out another word, Father God, that the people need to hear, Father God. I pray for all the people that heard the word today, Father God. I ask you right now, Father God, that they heed to the word, including myself, Father God, that we know that we have to be on your time, Father God, delivering your word, Father God, the things that you say for us to say to the people, Father God, that don't know, Father God. We ask you right now, Father God, to bless our nation, Father God, bless the nation of Israel, Father God, bless the children, Father God, and we ask you right now, Father God, the facilitators of this line, Sister Bernard, Father God, and her co-host, Father God, we ask you right now to bless them for everything that they do every day that they come on the line. We're so thankful for technology, God, for the ability for us together, even though we may never see or meet each other, Father God, that we're able to come together on the line. So I'm just so thankful and so grateful, Father God, that you provided us with this blessing of life today, Father God, and I ask you right now to keep us safe till we're able to return together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. We'll see you all on tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Prophet David may be the one ministering tomorrow. If not, I'll send you all out a text and let you know who will be ministering on tomorrow. Continue to keep Apostle Stallworth in your prayers also. He's going through some things still, amen, but he's down to one pill, and he's saying 90 days, they're going to take him off of that for his heart. So continue to lift him up and keep the man of God lifted up, and continue to pray for the young lady in Inglewood, California, Sister Ingrid Hill, that God would continue to strengthen her and that she would live and not die. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to close out with Hezekiah Walker. You're all I need. How many know that God is all we need? Amen, amen. God bless you, Sister Doris, Evangelist, coming, Sister Ruby. And we've had quite a few on the line, so they dropped off. So God bless you all. Amen.
You're all I need.
You're all I need.
Let your rivers.
Come on. You're all I need. That you've been so through me. You're all I need. You're all I need. You're all I need.
God bless you all. Have a beautiful day. In Jesus' name.